Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of my blessed beloveds out there. It's just you and me and Leona Hosack, the originator, the musician and voice behind My Little Ditty, will be on joining us to discuss her new children's book that she's written. So I'm very excited about that. I'm glad to have her on the show finally, and she'll be dialing in soon. So if you have any questions, feel free to call us. The number here is 347-205-9443. And I'm Rusty. Amy is out up north somewhere in Augusta at a 4-H or a Girl Scouts award ceremony. So,
hello, I'm here.
Hi, Leona. How are you?
Hi, Rusty. Good.
Good morning.
Very good. Thank you so much for having
Absolutely.
Me on.
I was just letting everybody know that Amy will not be joining us today, so it's going to be you, me, and them, and to call in and sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account so that you can chat with us, and let's get started. So, Leona, I've known you for several years. You were my daughter's teacher at a Montessori-based school, preschool. Gosh, how old was she then? That's what, 5 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. So I've known you for a long time, and I've coached you, and I have always been inspired by you and your incredible creativity. You are an amazing silhouettist, which I'd like you to explain soon, and musician. You travel all over the seacoast playing folk music, and an incredible illustrator, author. So I couldn't be more thrilled to have you on. Why don't you give us a little bit more of who you are, where you're from, and how we find you?
Yeah, my name is Leona Hosack, and you can find me at leonahosack.com. If you can spell a name, you can find me. It's LeonaHosack. And I'm actually going to be upgrading my website soon, but it'll be the same contact. I have a background in music and art and children, and I love combining them. I majored in illustration years ago in the 70s at UMass at Dartmouth, and have done a variety of illustrations for children's book magazines and children's books over the years. This is the first time I've actually written children's books that are being published, and it's 2 in 1 year this year, so I'm very excited about that. I've been performing with a group called Salt River for about 15 years now in the area, and we do festivals and parties and whatever comes our way. We've been performing at Market Square Day regularly for the last many, many years in Portsmouth, and that will be coming up again soon in June, I believe. And the last 4 or 5 years now, 4 years, I have started, begun to do silhouettes at the various venues and festivals in the area. And just last summer, I started doing caricatures. So I had my finger in a lot of different pies. And I'm enjoying it very much, and hope to do more and more of it.
So to explain what a silhouette artist does. A lot of people have asked, and I explain it, and you, I personally feel, have this just amazing gift because you just look at the person and do it,
right,
which is a huge talent.
A lot of people, when they come up to me to have their silhouettes done, the first thing they ask is, where is the light? And you don't trace first. You don't draw first. I just look and cut a little different than when you're in school and they put you in front of a strong light and cast your shadow on the wall and trace a shadow. I just look and cut. And I didn't even realize that was something I wanted to do till I saw a silhouette artist being interviewed on public TV a few years ago. And I looked at it and said, I can do that. And I love faces. I've been drawing faces for my whole life. That's something I did as a kid. I just loved drawing faces and looking at faces, especially children. So what I do is I have a person sit so that I can see a side view, and I cut what I see. I just look at their face. I look at the outline of their face, and from the chin to the face and the top of the head and the back of the head, the whole head makes the like for the likeness, the best likeness. And I cut it out of black paper. It takes under 5 minutes, and then I adhere it to a piece of cardstock, and we're good to go. They take it home same day, and I can work from photographs. And people often send me photos through email, and then I can do it that way.
A few years ago, you actually, I used to host a Christmas Eve party, and what was it, 27 people? and you came, and that was the departure gift for all of the guests. Was these beautiful silhouettes that you made for the kids, and it was amazing, especially with that large of a crowd. You just kept going and did a great job. I still have the girls hanging on my wall from 4 or 5 years ago, and I love it. I think it's just amazing how you do it, and I highly recommend if anybody's getting married or would like to hire Leona.
Yes.
Personally, definitely do it. It's well worth the memory keepsake. It's beautiful work. And
thank you. Weddings are a lot of fun because I can just walk around and cut silhouettes of the guest and of the wedding party, and they get to take home a likeness of themselves that day, a great keepsake of the event. I have an Etsy shop. If you go to Etsy.com, and look up Designs by Leona, and you'll come to my shop, and you can order silhouettes through that. You can order caricatures through that and other things. I'm in the process of putting as many things as I can, my various art items that I have available, including cards, paper-cut cards, like collage-type cards, and soon I hope to put some prints of my children's book illustrations. So that will all be available on Etsy.
That'll be great. I had a sneak peek of your books, and I'm high-fiving you from 3 miles down the road. I'm super proud of you, and I'm glad that you were able to put this all together. What does that feel like?
It feels great. Very exciting. And,
very good.
I'm very excited because I did not expect at all to be doing silhouettes and caricatures at this time in my life or ever. I mean, if it was something I had really planned to do in the beginning, I would have been doing it a while ago. And it just presented itself. And I think that because of the immediacy of the art of silhouettes and caricatures, because it's something you have to do in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. It has helped me immensely in my illustration work because it forces me to just be in the moment, you know. We're all trying to do be in the moment with the art, and I don't have much time to judge. My art
right.
is not. Which is great. It's been really helpful, and even friends of mine and family have noticed the difference in my illustrations also. It's just blooming and moving forward, which is delightful.
Very cool. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and thrilled to have author, illustrator, musician, goddess of all things that are creatable on the air with us, Leona Hosack. Uh-huh. You can learn more about her at Leona, L-E-O-N-A, Hosack, O-H-S-A-C-K?
Yes.
Is that right? .com. I always miss the C. So tell us a little bit about Babysitting Blues, which I've already written your next book for you, Adventures in Babysitting, but that's another topic.
Oh. It's been done many times. Sorry.
No worries.
Babysitter Blues. Another way I've surprised myself in recent years, I never dreamed that I would write a novel, but always expected that I would write a picture book, and studied picture books, and enjoyed sharing picture books with the kids. I used to read all the time to the kids in my care at the daycare center, and my own children, and my grandchildren now. But never dreamed that I would actually write a novel for children, a little older child. But that's always been the reading that I love the most. So I've done a lot of reading of young adult novels and middle, they're called middle reader novels for children ages 8 and up, or 8 up to 12, 13. So in this story, actually, it came to be because I heard of I saw online the submission call from this particular company, and immediately wrote to them and asked if they would like a picture book, and they weren't interested in picture books. So I said, well, I have to work with that. And I thought about it, and I immediately got this idea, and I jotted it down and wrote to them and asked if they were interested in the idea, and they were. I didn't have it written yet. I had just the idea. And that helped me a lot, too, knowing that someone was interested. It kind of helped me to go ahead and write it. So what it's about is this boy who is 14, and he has been asked by his mother to do more babysitting than he's already doing for his younger siblings. He has three younger siblings. Two of them are three-year-old twin boys, and one is a five-year-old girl, his little sister. And he is very unhappy about this. His mother is going back to nursing school and also works at a nursing home on the weekends. And he's just entering high school, and he's wondering, how am I going to get through this? And I don't want to do this. And he rants and raves and is not happy. But also he's kind of a responsible type person, and he doesn't want to just give up or just give in to his anger.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is he happens to meet a girl at school who happens to be a Baha'i, a member of the Baha'i faith. And so she invites him to bring his sibling, because she'd seen him on the playground with the younger kids, and invites him to come to a hike that her Baha'i community has planned for children, specifically geared towards the kids. And he does. And on the hike, he meets her brother, who is a little bit older, who's mid-20s, early 20s. And I didn't mention yet that there's another thing that is on the mind of this boy, and his name is Evan, is that his siblings are have a different father, and his own father died when he was 5, so and died from cancer, and he has all of this angst about that, and his younger siblings are from his mother's second marriage, who she had divorced the second husband, so there's not even a father in the house, so Evan is it. He's the father, pretty much, helping to raise these younger kids who aren't even his whole brother and sister in his mind. That's what he's thinking. So he meets this girl who invites him to the hike, and he goes on the hike and finds out that her older brother had also lost someone to cancer, had lost his wife of just a few years. And so they have this thing in common. And the brother, Lewis, shares some of the Baha'i writings about life after death. And so Evan is able to, you know, talk with him, and he finds a mentor in this young man, and later takes his young twin brothers and his little sister to a Baha'i children's class and learns some things about, he thinks he's doing it just to entertain the kids, but he finds out that there are some things here that he wants to learn about. And so he starts to investigate some of these ideas, and he starts to incorporate them into his life. And he is changed. And it's not just that he's changed because it's Baha'i ideas, but because he's ready to learn something a little different. And he also is learning more about himself and more about his own choices that he can make. He's learning that he could become aware of his own thought processes, and that's one of the things that happens in the book. And one of the things that the children's class that he attends, and then later an adult class for people that want to learn how to take care of children better or run children's classes, he attends that also, and they present ideas that seem true to him, that help him to deal with his children and with his situation and with his mother and with his anger and with his missing his father. And so he's also respects the Christian tradition of his family, his father and his mother. And there's one little scene in the book where his father leaves him a hymnal, and the mother had been meaning to give it to him. Well, not so much leave it to him, but it's something that his father loved, because he loved making up poems and songs and the hymns and everything. And so one of the hymns is rewritten by his father in the hymnal. Because another part of this book is that Evan loves to make up poems. And I wanted something to be humorous throughout the book, because it can be a little bit heavy thinking about death and his father and cancer and all of that stuff. So in order to kind of get his brothers and sisters to do what he needs them to do, he'll make up name poems for them. And that entertains them. And so throughout the book, there are different little poems scattered, plus a more serious poem about his father. It's in there. And so back to the hymnal, his father had rewritten the words to, maybe you know the hymn, Jesus Loves Me.
Yes. Yep.
Jesus loves me, this I know. He rewrites it for Evan, but his he hadn't known it until shortly after he and his mother have an argument, and the mother finds this hymnal and gives it to him, and I'm going to find it and see if I can share it. I have my little notes, and I can't find it.
That's all right. So give us an idea of how you incorporated the Baha faith into a tween book, an in-between.
A tween book.
A what?
A tween book, that's right.
A tween book. How did you incorporate your faith, spirituality, into a book for young readers?
By having it relate to his needs and his situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's one place. I have it in front of me. Here's a little thing. Also, he deals with bullies now and then. There are some boys in his high school that tease him for writing baby poems, which they see in a journal that he has and things like that. Here's a little section. His friend that's sharing some of these Baha'i ideas with him tells him, when he describes the problem with the bullies, he says, maybe you should say a prayer, because I've heard that prayer can help. And he reads something, a quote, that says, "Armed with the power of thy name, nothing can ever hurt me. And with thy love in my heart, all the world's afflictions can in no wise alarm me." And he says, that's a good one to memorize, though I'm not sure I believe it. He says, pretty handy anyway. And then he looks at other things. Another quote, "God is at peace with all his children. Why should they engage in strife and warfare among themselves? God is showering down kindness. Why should the inhabitants of this world exchange unkindness and cruelty?" Then he says, in his thoughts, he says, it says, Evan could totally identify with this. He had spent enough time engaging in strife with his own family, and he liked the reference to other religions in their writings. It had mentioned the similarity in other religions. And he says, maybe he couldn't do a whole lot to change the world, but maybe he could do something to better his own situation. And then he's thinking, we don't need more stress around here. We need more patience and ways of working stuff out. These kids, referring to his brothers and sisters, don't know how to do that. I'm not sure I know how to do that, but I guess I know a little more about it than they do. I'm learning anyway. Maybe if I practice kindness, there'll be more kindness around for everyone. If I practice believing in a solution, maybe one will show up, maybe. And then a little thing happens that tests that, and he has a chance to put it into action. So he learns about some different ideas, and then he has chances to put them into action. There's one place where he has learned at an adult class about working with children that if you use a game with a children's class, that is one way of teaching children about obedience or about rules, and that obedience to the rules of a game help everyone be able to enjoy the game. The same idea of obedience to the laws of God, if you want to call them that, or natural rules of the universe that help us to be happy and healthy and sharing and love and the golden rules, that kind of thing, will help everyone. And so he hears a fight going on between the twin boys, the three-year-olds, in their bedroom, and he tries to solve the problem. They're fighting over a train. And so he remembers what he had learned in the class, and says, what can I do? How can I turn this into a game? And it says a little prayer or thinks, positive thoughts. And he comes up with an idea and tries it, and it works. Turns the situation into a hide-and-seek the train game, and the kids respond, and they have fun with it. And he breathes a sigh of relief. There's another part in the book where he's with his mother attending a Martin Luther King service, and it comes up. She asks him, "So when are you going to become a Baha'i?" And it throws him because he has been very shy about it and doesn't want to offend any of their, his father's memory as a Christian or anything like that. And his mother encourages him. And she says, "Your father would want you to do what you feel is right," which is something that my father said to me when I was 17 and first became a Baha'i. And I grew up very happy in the Protestant church, and music was a big part of that for me. And I remember a moment in the church choir, looking down at all the congregation in the church, of feeling very, very close to Jesus. And I put that in the book. He has a memory where he feels very close to Jesus. He couldn't remember a whole lot, but he remembered being with his father and his mother in the church singing hymns. And it just felt like Jesus was making things okay. One of the teachings of the Baha'i Faith is the universality of God, of the continuation of religion, and that all of the prophets are from the same God, and that God, that the revelation is continuous. And so I don't want this book to be exclusively for Baha'is. It's for any child who's interested in how learning about a spiritual concept can change your life. And so this is something that I don't know if that answer, is answering your question or not, but
absolutely,
it's helping me.
So what was your inspiration?
Actually, I kind of got the idea for Evan from a friend of my son's who I didn't really know very well, but knew that he was in a situation where he had to take care of younger siblings, and how amazing that was, because he never complained, or at least I never heard it. So Evan complained, so... But so that was the inspiration for the specific character. An inspiration other than that, I'm very excited that I just recently got out of the library a book by Wayne Dyer for kids.
Yeah,
have
that's
you seen
a great
that?
Book. Yeah, Chloe has
Incredible
it.
View. Incredible yeah. View. It's really neat, and I had a chance to read it to my granddaughter. The other day, it was really nice, and I would love to be able to do that kind of thing for children and through children's books, in a not a preachy way. And I hope that don't think that the Babysitter Blues is preachy at all. It's just this boy Evan just happens to meet this girl and happens to want to learn about this particular spiritual tradition, and he puts it together with his spiritual tradition of origin, of what he grew up in, and to him, it's seamless. It's a continuation for him. And in that scene in the church, where his mother encourages him, she also tells him that she's interested, although she hasn't been to church in years, that she's decided to go to a Jewish synagogue with a friend and go to a Buddhist center and explore herself. And she asks him, is that all right? And he's thinking, wow, I can't believe my mother is asking me for approval for what she's, for her searching. And so they work it out.
So it's a great, it sounds like a great journey through, you know, tough times, adversity, discovering your choice of spirituality, whatever group feels right to you. I think it's very important to be able to explore that. What was the largest, and I don't want you to give away too much more of the book, we need to get to the next one, but what was the largest impact for them other than the realization that his mom is supportive of his choice?
What was the, I'm sorry.
Impact.
What was the impact of?
Of the book. For them.
For whom?
For the characters. What was the largest impact for the characters? Without giving too much away.
I'm not following. Sorry.
All right.
What was the impact for the characters of Evan's decision?
Yeah.
To learn more about Baha'i?
Yep.
I see what you mean. He becomes more willing to help his siblings solve problems and to see them as not just annoying little sister, annoying little brothers, but to that they have a soul and that they are, you know, they don't know any different. And what can he do to make it better?
Right.
Instead of thinking, well, it's my mother's fault, she should fix it. He's turned around and become aware that he can fix some things. he can't fix his mother. He can't really even fix his little brothers and sisters, but he's learned that he can do something to help. And whatever he can do, it's all he can do. And at one point, the little sister becomes really excited about saying prayers. She even asked them one time to say a prayer with her because she'd lost her teddy. And in the middle of the prayer, she remembers, oh, yeah, he's in the wash. Mom put him in the wash. And then she goes and gets him out of the wash, and her prayer has been answered as much as she knows.
So what was it like to visualize these characters when you worked on the illustrations?
They feel very real to me. It was really fun. It was very fun. And I obviously had a lot of experience with kids, and particularly 3- and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. So
right.
I've drawn on a lot of my background and my love of kids and my knowledge of, you know, how they can be. There's one other place in the book where Evan takes the kids to their first children's class, and after they have the class, there's actually a swing in the room that all of the kids line up for to take turns on. And one of the twins decides he's just going to go over and push a kid off the swing and take his own turn, and that upsets everyone, and Evan has a hard time with it and just grabs him and leaves. He's very upset. And so what has progressed through the book is that he's learned how to deal with that and how to feel that he may not be able to control the kids, but he can be creative and ask for some kind of guidance from Jesus or Baha'u'llah, who is the founder of the Baha'i Faith. He kind of mentions thinking of both of them together, working on things, you know, being, you know, there for him. You know, not all problems are solved by the end of the book, but he feels more able to be aware of what hand he can have in creating his own reality.
Very cool. I'm so proud of you. This is Rusty, and you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we have a fantastic, incredible, creative, amazing woman on the line that I've known and been privileged to know for many years. And I have to give you feedback from many viewers or listeners. The ditty that you made for my radio show, people actually, it'll start playing in their head when they're in the shower or doing dishes or something. So high five, excellent job. I've had a lot of feedback on that. So, again, very grateful for the ditty because it works. It's great. If you have any questions for Leona, we have about 20 minutes left of the show, and I definitely want you to have an opportunity to ask her questions. The number here is 347-205-9443. And, you know, sign in for a free Blog Talk Radio account so that you can sit here and chat with me. We have a little bit of a full house today. I know it's 1 o'clock on Humpity Hump Day, but people made it, and so thrilled to have you here. So, Leona, give us the scoop on the other book.
It's called Kamal's Day, and it's a picture book. It's going to be produced by the Baha'i Publishing Trust. The other one, Babysitter Blues, is being produced by One Voice Press, two different companies. And Kamal's Day is a picture book kind of based on the old clock books. I don't even know if you can find them too much anymore.
Oh, like the bunny book, Pat the Bunny?
No, like a clock on every page, 8 o'clock time to get up, 9 o'clock time to
go. Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought you said cloth. Sorry.
Yeah, cloth. Telling time books, although it's not really focused on the clocks so much, but there are clocks on every couple of pages. And it's pretty much a day in the life of a child, particularly a Baha'i child, who is wakes up 7 o'clock, whatever the timing is, time to wash up and say prayers. So he sits with his mom and says prayers. I can't remember the exact 8 o'clock time for breakfast. Dad makes orange juice and freshly squeezed oranges and waffles or pancakes or something. 9 o'clock time to go to children's class, and he goes to children's class, and there's a activity that they do in the children's class that is available in the back of the book that people can actually use that. And there are a lot of Baha'i children's classes going on right now that are actually called neighborhood children's classes. They're open to everyone, not just Baha'is. And so I wanted to make that available for children's classes to actually use the project. What the project is a paper mache trays using Mod Podge and that kind of thing, tissue paper and all that kind of fun stuff. And so then the boy goes through his day, and at one point he goes with his mother to his neighbor and shares, I think he gives the tray to her that he made. So he's sharing something, giving away something, and shares a prayer with her in Spanish, and later on plays with some friends. One of his friends falls down and gets hurt, and he says a prayer for the friend in his mind. You know, again, I'm very aware of not wanting to be preachy or pushy or anything about this. It's just about spirituality informing what we do, and, you know, whatever form of spirituality you choose, it can change your life. And that should be available to children, you know, not just adults. And it's, you know, it's a challenge sometimes, I know, being an adult and working so much with children and having children. And how do you share your beliefs with them and still be prepared for them to make their own choices in belief, you know, especially as they grow up? That's very interesting. Challenge. In this, the rest of the book goes through the rest of his day, and the evening his parents have a class, and there's something that's going on in the Baha'i community worldwide right now is free classes available for studying different subjects having to do with spirituality. And they're, again, open to everyone, not just Baha'is. But the Baha'i communities are really centering all of their activity around these classes right now, children's classes and adult classes on various subjects. It's like long-distance learning type of a system. And they're the same classes that are available all over the world in other countries also, and they're wonderful. I went to one last night. It's very, very, very wonderful, and it's informal. They're free, and they're in people's homes. And they share a lot of wonderful quotations and writings and understandings, and then people get to share their own thoughts as well. So in the end of this book, this boy makes granola bars for his parents' class that they're taking. And he gets to share the granola bars. And I think they're including the granola bar recipe in the back of the book.
Oh, great.
Yeah. At least that was the plan.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And what was the inspiration on this particular book?
I actually have been involved with a small group of Baha'is that we call ourselves Spirit of Children. Task force. We hope to become a press someday. We've been working on that. And we've been producing conferences on children's literature and with other, presenting other ideas that support the arts and spirituality at Greenacre Baha'i School every year. But this would be our 15th year. 15th, 16th, I think, and it's every summer. It's for a week, and I can't remember exactly what the particular inspiration was for the clock book. I think just the idea that I always liked those books, those clock clock books, and they were fun to read to children because it wasn't a story as much. And for very young children, it's not always easy for them to get into a story, a very involved story, but they can look at the pictures and say, oh, this is the juice they're serving at the children's class, and this is a, you know, a very visual kind of thing. So I wanted to produce something that would be useful for very young children, as there's not as many books like that available that use the Baha'i quotes or whatever, the Baha'i community thing that's going on right now, this study classes and all of that. There's not that many for young children, so I wanted to do that. And at our Spirit of Children's conference a number of years ago, an editor from the U.S. Baha'i Publishing Trust actually came and was part of our, well, for several years here and there, she would come. And she was very gracious in allowing some of the Baha'is who had ideas to sit with her and share what our ideas were for books. And that's how this got started. And she has since passed on. I would like to, I have to call the editor, I would like to dedicate that book to her, actually. I have to do that.
That would be a huge honor.
I'm sorry?
I said that would be a huge honor. That's very, yes, very great. All right. So, if I remember correctly, last time we sat down to have tea, which was, you know, many moons ago, you had mentioned that you also were writing or had written a song for the Baha'i, or were you recording a go ahead. Hello?
A song. Yes. A song?
Yeah.
I don't remember what specifically that might have been, but I've written many songs for Baha'i and for anyone. My husband and I are, maybe it was this, are working on a Bandcamp page.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to bandcamp.com and look up Leona and Larry. Hopefully you'll get there. And I'm still learning about all of these things. And we have available so far just one song that is a Baha'i quote, and we will be putting more on. And I call them prayer songs. They're quotes from the Baha'i writings, beautiful prayers. And I just love putting them to music. And I've been doing it for many, many years, and he has too. And at least that one is available, and more will be available as we finish them up. We record at home, and we're working on seeding the Bandcamp site. But the other thing that is available on that right now on Bandcamp, our Bandcamp page, Leona and Larry, is a collection of songs for children that we put out in the form of a tape in the 80s, I have to admit, in the 80s, and that has found its way in various circles in the local area, because we used to do children's music professionally and played at a lot of different schools and festivals.
Yep, Chloe still has a couple of your CDs way back.
So we're putting those on Bandcamp and anything else we have and anything else we record in the future. So I'm trying to do that, and that's exciting to me.
What is your next exciting adventure? Can you dish out any secrets? Anything new coming on the horizon for you?
What is that next thing? Salt River will be performing at the Market Square Day, as I mentioned, which is June 9th, I think. And I will be doing silhouettes at Strawberry Festival in South Berwick. It's the last day of, when is that? Last day of June?
Last I think Saturday. So, yeah.
June.
Market Square Day is actually in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay,
right.
And then just because I'm international, I want people to have a geographic understanding.
Right. The Strawberry Festival is 29th of June in South Berwick, Maine. And
that's a fun event. That's a fun, quaint event.
And Market Square Day is on the 8th of June in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
And that is a big event.
It's very fun.
Very cool.
I will be doing, actually, silhouettes at Willowbrook, which is a beautiful historic village in Newfield, Maine, up in the Waterboro area. And that is, their opening day is May 25th, it's a Saturday. And they always have, they have like the second oldest character the world, and they offer free a free tour and free ride, I think, for that one day on their opening day. It's free to get in on that opening day, and I'll be there doing silhouettes.
That's very cool. Very cool. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and my fabulous guest today is Leona Hosak, and you can find out much more information than we have time to get into at Leona, L-E-O-N-A, Hosak, HOSACK.com. And if you go to the back, I think, what was it? You have won awards and all kinds of wonderful things. Your biography. So you can learn a little bit more of what she's done. She is incredibly talented, and I'm just, again, just tickled pink that finally wrangled you onto the show.
I appreciate it so much. I really do. And I appreciate it. I just have to say that you have just been such an inspiration for me, and I really appreciate everything that you've done for me. And you taught me Facebook.
That's
big
social media, that's how we started,
you
that's right.
Facebook. And put me on Twitter, I think.
Yeah,
I
think
no
we
idea that I do anything. Yep. It's just been so wonderful. I really, really, really appreciate it very much. And I'm excited about your new venture.
Which one?
Which one? Many, many.
Like you, my
clothing
friend.
Adventure, your fashion adventure.
Yes.
That's
did
really
you did
neat.
You get to stop by the store?
I didn't stop by, but I drove by and I saw them in the window. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Very
it's colorful. It's very exciting to start thinking about spring dresses and flip-flops and having your feet in the grass, and even though it's, what, 32 degrees today and like, brutally windy, it is coming at some point. I saw my daffodils. They're popping up out of the ground, so I'm grateful. It'll be here one day.
Next week.
I hope so. I was hoping it was this week. I was really rooting for it. So,
be patient.
Give us a little one last time where we can find both books and the titles of the books. Are they going to be easily found on like BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, that sort of thing? Or
Amazon. At least the Babysitter Blues, I think, will be available on Amazon. Possibly the other one as well. And I know that One Voice Press has a contract with Barnes & Noble to look at their titles and possibly, if they choose to, include them on their online store, not the actual store, but the online store. So that's a possibility. So I don't
right.
know. And we're also talking about the possibility. Well, actually, Babysitter Blues will definitely be an e-book as well that you could download onto your device, and may possibly become an audiobook too. We're talking about that possibility as well. And that
for Babysitter Blues?
Available on Amazon. com. So.
Very cool. Look at you go.
What was that?
I said, look at you go. We're going to have to get you a Kendall and get you all up in that.
So One Voice Press is onevoicepress.com. And the other book, the picture book, it's not listed yet, but it would be available through the BahaiBookstore.com, www.BahaiBookstore.com, or through my website as well.
Very cool. I'm so proud of you. I'm just ear-to-ear grin, loving what you're doing, loving that you're getting out there and really showing people how incredibly talented and gifted you are. You're an amazing woman. And your son, he too, I've been noticing, he too is publishing music as well. Is that correct? You've posted some things on Facebook. Huh?
Oh, yes, right. Yeah. He is. I have two sons that, and my daughter also. Everybody writes music in my family. My husband, my three children, and everybody plays guitar. I think that's probably my son that's in South Carolina. He's in his 30s. My oldest is writing music and making it available. And both sons do something called Album of Day challenges. Have you ever heard of that?
No, what's that?
Very interesting. There used to be a website, but I don't think it exists any longer, but they're continuing the tradition, and when they do an album a day, they make it available on various websites and through Facebook. And what it is a challenge to create songs and record them in one day without planning and make them available online. And they do a great job. It's really fun. And they have fun. They gather together their friends and they just do it. Spontaneous music.
I think that's great. Have fun and creative.
It's the greatest in the world, but it's really fun. Not polished, but it's fun. And that's the idea, is having fun.
What an amazing, talented family you have. I just really hope that everybody has an opportunity to go out to leonahosek.com and contact her. She is an amazing woman. She's worked a few parties for me with the Silhouettes and various outdoor events. The caricatures, I can't say that today, that I have not seen yet. So next time we have tea, I'd like you to bring some of your work because I know you were a little apprehensive with that one, but it seems to be doing really well.
Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I did caricatures and silhouettes at a party for Mothers of Multiples Seacoast area. So I got to do all these twins.
Oh, wow.
Some of them wanted caricatures and some of them wanted silhouettes. It was at the University of New Hampshire. It was a lot of fun. And I have an upcoming, you're going to laugh, I have an upcoming gig, as I call them, to do, I'm cool, I can say the word gig, I have gigs.
That's right.
I'm doing caricatures for an all-night graduation party in June up in Winthrop, at Winthrop High School. And so I have to go up there, and I'll be up in the middle of the night doing caricatures from like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And that's a big stretch for me, but I'll do it.
Good for you. That sounds really exciting.
Very different, but fun. A lot of fun.
Very cool. Well, Leona, I am going to say thank you. I am so grateful for you. I am a huge fan of yours, as you know, and Chloe is too. She just misses and adores you. And
give her my love.
I will, absolutely. And thank you for coming on today. I'm looking forward to seeing your, as my friend Bob Berg called it a couple of shows ago, your stratospheric success. Which I think is where you're going, my friend, is the stratospheric success.
I heard that show, and I get his email now. It's great.
Yeah, he's great. He's just we've maintained our relationship, and just a great person, absolutely. And if you get an opportunity, I can actually lend you the book
if you want to read it. It's a great book, the Go-Getter. Great stuff. All right, my dear. So everybody out there in the living and thriving world, we are wrapping up the show. And as I've mentioned it a couple of times, please go and visit LeonaHosek.com and check out her work. She's an incredibly talented woman and very gifted, and her children are as well, and I'm sure her grandchildren will be as well. Very talented family. Next week we have Marilyn Carter. She is an author of cooking. I don't think I've had a cooking show in a while, and this one's the No Fret Cookbook. They're actually local. They're here in, I believe, in New Hampshire. Her husband, so this will be the interesting piece, somehow her husband has come up with music for the cookbook. So that in itself is very intriguing. So he composed, arranged, and performs music for this particular cookbook that Marilyn wrote.
That's great.
Yeah, it sounds like a great show, doesn't it? So that is next Wednesday, and I hope you all are living and thriving. And after all, it is Wednesday, Humpity Hump Day. And until next week, just know that I love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Do something for yourself. Until next week.
Hello?